You are listening to an SAFM podcast, 104 to 107 nationwide. Stream us live on www.safm.co.za or via the SABC Plus app. SABC News, independent and impartial.
Prof. Moodley, thank you very much for your time with us this morning. Give us a sense of what the study focused on, how extensive it was, how long it took, as well as some of the fascinating findings that emerged from it.
Good morning, Sebenzile. Good morning, South Africa. I'm delighted that you're interested in our work. Sure, I'd be happy to. The study started a few years back when my second mom, Delisha Gunn, who works in Loskop Dam Nature Reserve in Mpumalanga. Mm-hmm. She told me that there's this young Australian lad running around Loskop Dam Nature Reserve catching leopards, and that he says he wants to do genetics with them. And me being a wildlife geneticist, she asked me to have a word with him to see what he's up to. So I did that, and it turns out that Declan Morris was a very industrious chap. He not only trapped 17 leopards on Loskop Dam Nature Reserve, which is unheard of, but he also had his hands on another data set from the Lowveld, Mpumalanga Lowveld, so the collected by a lady named Jeanette Fensel, who's also a part of the team. And together he had these Mpumalanga Highveld and Lowveld samples. And I advised him at that stage to look at these DNAs from an Africa perspective instead of just an Mpumalanga perspective, which could not be interesting, but from an Africa perspective, we could find something a bit more novel. Mm-hmm. And so he did that. Declan went around, he downloaded every available mitochondrial DNA sequence of leopard that's ever been published, and he added them to his data set from Mpumalanga, Highveld and Lowveld. And the two very interesting things he found was that the first thing is that, leopards across Africa are thought of as one big population with no differentiation inside it. But what he found was that all of the leopard mitochondrial DNA, at least from the female perspective, because mitochondrial DNA is inherited by females only, is that there were these two very ancient maternal lineages, or lines of descent, as we call it in genetics. And they're very old, so they separated from each other from 400 to 900,000 years ago. So they're these two very old mitochondrial DNA lines in Africa. And the second most interesting thing about that study is that when he plotted where these lines occur in Africa, it was fascinating, because the one line occurred in the Mpumalanga Lowveld, but no further south. But further north, it was the dominant line in Africa. So it's from Mpumalanga Lowveld around Kruger Park area all the way to the north of Africa. Whereas the second line occurred only in southern Africa, and but at very low frequency, very, very seldomly in Zimbabwe and Mozambique, but starting to become more common in the Mpumalanga Lowveld. But then in Mpumalanga Highveld and Loskop Dam, where he trapped his leopards, it was the only kind of maternal line found. It's the only maternal line found in KwaZulu-Natal. It's the only maternal line found in the Cape, Eastern Cape and Western Cape leopards. And so we have this very curious distribution of these two maternal lines in Africa. So one is basically mainly in South Africa, and the other is in the rest of Africa. And so the only way that this could possibly have evolved is if South African leopards, or at least female South African leopards, were isolated in South Africa for a considerable length of time. And so we found that incredibly fascinating, that South Africa might actually have its own kind of leopard.
So the differences from what was found in the northern areas, the Kruger Park and the Mpumalanga area, as well as what was found in the coastal parts of the country, what can that be attributed to? Is it climate? Is it just kind of the different areas?
No, so the only way that can evolve is through isolation, that kind of pattern. So isolation, and then whatever was isolating the populations stopped isolating the populations, and then they're back into contact with each other again. So it looks like one seamless population. But what must have occurred was because, you know, South Africa, the climate's not been stable for the last million years. And so what we've had in the past are these ice ages. And, you know, in Europe, they call them ice ages, but in South Africa, in Africa, there's no ice, right? So what happens during an ice age in Africa is that the sea level, for example, the sea level goes down. Like the last ice age, the sea level was down more than 100 meters. So if you're standing at the coast in Durban, it's not actually the coast. The coast is quite a few kilometers further away because the sea level is so much lower during an ice age.
Right.
But the other thing that happens during an ice age is that the climate is very, very dry and very, very it's warm and dry. And so what happens then is it's almost as though a year during an ice age would be, for us, a very, very severe drought. But it would not just be that one year. It would be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years in a row.
Mm.
And so you'd have these extreme drought conditions here in Africa. And I don't know if you've ever been to the north of South Africa, so north of a place called Louis Trichardt, on the N1. If you're driving on the N1 to Beit Bridge, and as soon as you cross our Soutpansberg Mountains here, you get into what we call the Limpopo Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It's this massive river valley that goes all the way to Beit Bridge. And suddenly, from a lush, beautiful, green environment, you're in this very dry, parched environment of the Limpopo Valley. And so now you can imagine it looks like that now. And if you cross at Beit Bridge into Zimbabwe, it's the same for another 100 kilometers until you get into the Zimbabwean plateau. And so it's very harsh and dry now. So you can imagine how it would have been during the Pleistocene. So our theory is that leopards, that was what was isolating leopards in South Africa compared to to Zimbabwe and the rest of Africa. And so there might have been leopards in that landscape during the Pleistocene, but they must have been at such low density that there was and dispersal across that barrier must have been so infrequent as to isolate a population in South Africa. And that's basically how we think these two this curious distribution of DNA has occurred in South Africa, that at some stage during the Ice Age, the South African leopards were isolated. And of course, now conditions are milder, and so that isolation is not there anymore. And so these two kinds of leopard have come back into contact with each other, and they are mixing, if you like, in this Kruger National Park area.
Do you imagine, Prof Moodley, if you looked at Southern Africa more broadly, you would have had similar findings? I ask this because Southern Africa isn't all that different, or South Africa isn't all too unique to some of our neighbours in the region as well. So could this be extended to what could be found in the region?
Yeah, so I mean, you're right. On the one hand, we do find, as I said, we find that this South African kind of leopard maternal DNA is found in, say, Zimbabwe or Mozambique,
right.
But it's very infrequent. So it's telling us that in the last few thousand years, some leopards that have now migrated northwards, because there's no barrier anymore, into the rest of Southern Africa, have brought that kind of DNA there. But it's really unique, it seems to be unique, at least from our sampling, to South Africa. But I also like to just take you up on that South Africa is not all that different to the rest of Southern Africa. In terms of large mammals, we are. We have an incredible endemic biodiversity of large mammals here in South Africa. Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, we've had animals like the blowbok, the blesbok, the Cape Mountain zebra, the Cape lion, the Cape rhino, all of which are endemic to South Africa, not Zimbabwe, not Mozambique, not Botswana.
Sure.
And so, and unfortunately, because South Africa is the most industrialized of these countries, many of these animals are now extinct. So no, we have an incredible, unique biodiversity in South Africa, not just leopards, but with other animals as well. So South Africa is not the same as the rest of Southern Africa in terms of the biodiversity of large mammals and birds as well. So we've got a lot of uniqueness in our southern tip of Africa here. And I have a feeling that a lot of this uniqueness for across the board must have been driven by, at some stage, species being isolated in South Africa during the last ice ages.
Fascinating, Prof, and thank you for that. Just as a final one as well, as we are out of time, what do you hope, what do you believe that this study will contribute towards, towards knowledge about leopards? What can we potentially predict about the future, really, from the study, in your view?
Well, thanks for asking. So I think that what we really need to do is confirm these results or to look at the nuclear DNA, which is inherited by both sexes, not just females, mm-hmm. because female and male leopards behave slightly differently. And so we're already doing the study, we're hoping to find the same kind of pattern with these two populations with nuclear DNA as well. And if we do, then it's a big deal. Then it really means that we have a unique population of leopards in the south of Africa, and that has all kinds of conservation and taxonomical and commercial spin-offs, and also means a lot for our heritage. But I also like to say, while I have your attention and that of the rest of South Africa, that we don't have nearly enough people involved in this kind of research, evolutionary research on our wildlife. And so if there's any youngsters listening out there, I'd really like to ask them to please read a lot, because that's the only way to become a scientist, if you read, because then you have enough broad-based knowledge to interpret your data. But also, if you're interested in this kind of work, if you're listening in some way, if you're in high school, please come do biology at university, and maybe one day you'll also be unraveling the evolution of some of our wildlife. So thanks very much for having me online.
What a fascinating conversation, Professor. We appreciate your time with us here on The Weekend View. Thank you. That was Professor Yoshin Mudli of the Department of Biological Sciences, Faculty of Science, Engineering and Agriculture at the University of Venda.
You can find SAFM Current Affairs on 104 to 107 nationwide. Our podcasts are available for download on all our digital platforms. SAFM, leading the conversation.